GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
This is the George Hill Rick Tyler Show, bringing the money men on your radio now. Paul Tormey on loan from Bangor Savings Bank is spending some time away with the lovely Mrs. Tormey. That leaves us with the lovable, huggable, number-crunching bean counter from JT Hicks & Company, with locations all up and down the coast of Maine. Who dat on line three, Mr. Hale?
I be Tom Hicks.
Oh, good morning, fellas. How are you?
We're doing well. Thanks for sending the snapshot yesterday. You got some time up in the plane?
I did. I was doing a little flying yesterday in a Cessna 414 on basically a routine maintenance flight. And just loving every minute of it. It was a little rough up there yesterday, but it's the best office in the world.
You pointed out to us a national survey in which 60% of Americans say they think 60% of Americans say they think their taxes will rise. I think this is the key word here, significantly within the next 4 years under the Biden administration. So much talk of taxes. What do you make of all of it?
Well, you know, this is really no surprise to me. I mean, you know, America's been living under this pandemic for more than a year now, and we've been sort of handing out money like it was candy, in a manner of speaking. And so, you know, logic tells you at some point we've got to pay for that. And so I think, you know, Americans are responding to what they're seeing in the form of government stimulus and, you know, some of these other programs that the administration is bringing forward. And very concerned about how that's going to affect their taxes. And I think it's justifiable concern.
Well, there are a couple of things going on, and you put five economists in a room, you're going to get five answers, so we all know that. I'm leaving you out of that. But empirically, we're currently at a period of historically low tax rates that suggests that the government to meet its obligations in the future, especially we're trying for infrastructure and all of that, we're going to be forced to raise taxes no matter what.
Well, I think that's a foregone conclusion. And, you know, the administration would tell you, and Janet Yellen was reiterating this in some public speaking engagements that she's had recently, saying that we're going to make America's corporations and the wealthy pay for this. Don't worry, middle America. We're not going to raise your taxes. In fact, we may even decrease your taxes. And I think, you know, the reality is that we've been here before. We've seen this many, many, many times. As soon as we talk about, increasing taxes on the wealthy or on, you know, corporate America, then corporate America and the wealthy respond with teams of lawyers and tax professionals, and they exploit loopholes and they find a way to manage their tax burden because they have the resources to do that. And so we saw many, many corporations go offshore during, you know, administrations that were looking to raise taxes on corporations. We saw corporations come back off of shore, under the Trump administration. And I think, you know, corporate America is packing their bags again, getting ready to move offshore to respond to some of these demands, you know, for higher taxes. So ultimately, what seems to happen is the burden, you know, we commit to the spending, the people that are supposed to pay the largest part of it seem to disappear, and the middle class is left with the tax burden. And that tends to be the way it happens.
If you believe opponents of increasing corporate taxes, if you believe them and the playbook that they present, they say that the job creators, the real job creators, will leave. Do you see that happening?
Oh, absolutely. That's what happens. Corporations exist for one reason and one reason only, and that is for profitability and to deliver that profitability to shareholders in the form of dividends and capital returns. And so they're going to continue to do that. That is their purpose, and they will find ways to restructure their operations, to take advantage of existing tax loopholes, to, you know, relocate to other countries around the world to continue to deliver that profitability and those, you know, those returns to shareholders. So, you know, we've seen this many, many times. I'm thinking of a situation some years ago in Maryland, where Maryland came up with the brilliant idea that they were going to raise taxes on individuals reporting incomes in excess of $1 million. And they had about 1,500 taxpayers. Maryland's a relatively small state. They had about 1,500 taxpayers that were reporting that kind of income. And so after the first year of having, you know, raising taxes on those individuals, Maryland reported that only 500 people filed income tax returns with incomes greater than $1 million. So, you know, those people and those corporations with the resources to do so will, you know, will act in a self-preservation mode, and they will make changes and make moves to maintain status quo for themselves. So that's, you know, that's been a tried and true situation that's happened year after year after year. Every time we, you know, we introduce these kinds of spending bills with, you know, the inevitable tax increases, then corporate America and wealthy individuals respond accordingly.
It's not even remotely a new concept. The majority of Americans have, through the years, have consistently believed that the rich don't pay enough in taxes. Some don't pay any because of tax loopholes. But getting there from here has always been the problem.
Well, you know, it sure has, because we haven't, you know, I don't think we, you know, we've really looked. We oftentimes, as you'll hear me sometimes doctors say, you know, we're treating the symptom and not the problem. Of, you know, the illness, the original, you know, cause of the illness. So, you know, you're right, George, getting there from here, you know, in Maine, an old Mainer might say, well, you can't get there from here. And, you know, that might be true. You know, however, you know, we've talked about this many times on this program, and Paul, if he were here, he would reiterate the same thing, that, you know, corporate America and job creators want a stable business and tax environment, you know, on which they can rely to be able to, you know, conduct business. I don't think corporate, I'm sorry?
I'm going to challenge something that George just said.
Good.
The rich don't pay taxes.
Some don't.
George, you have two vehicles.
And they're old.
And you pay excise tax on both.
Yep.
You got a house?
Yep.
You pay taxes on that.
Yep.
When you buy things, you pay a sales tax.
And then, yeah.
So taxes, I'm pointing out that the rich do pay taxes. Excise tax, sales tax. I think it's a dangerous umbrella to say the rich don't pay taxes. Tom, I don't know if you agree or disagree. I don't know if you own the plane that you went up in yesterday, but the rich do pay some taxes. And those taxes go to the government.
That's true. You know, I have, you know, we serve a very broad base of clients, from, you know, the wealthy to the butcher and the baker and the candlestick maker. And, you know, everybody pays taxes at some level. And some of those things are really transparent. You don't really see them. And, when I think of the taxes that you're talking about, Rick, I call them consumption taxes. You know, sales taxes, things like that, based on things that you own or you purchase. And, you know, buying a new truck, for example, here in Maine, affects a wealthy man exactly the same way it does a poor man. He's going to pay the sales tax to the state of Maine, you know, regardless of what your income level is. And I think, you know, many states are, you know, looking at shortfalls. The last time I looked at this, Maine was predicting somewhere around $600 million in the shortfall of collection of income taxes as a result of the pandemic. Many, many, many states were all reporting similar expectations. And so we may have to look to taxes, you know, changing sales taxes in order to, you know, to have that, you know, the revenue that we need to, you know, to operate the government. So I agree with you. And I agree with George to some extent. You know, wealthy people pay some taxes, but they also have the resources to employ, you know, clever tax professionals like me. and that comes from my department, my shameless department of self-promotion,
yep.
To be able to, you know, to be able to mitigate those, you know, those outcomes. So I can't tell you how many phone calls I get in a week from somebody that's, I just sold Apple stock and I made, you know, $200,000 of profit on it, and I don't want to pay a penny in tax. Well, good luck with that. I don't know if I can help you mitigate it, but I can't eliminate it for you. So, you know, it's not fair to say that the rich don't pay any taxes. They do. They certainly have the resources to mitigate and manage that liability. So that's where I think the real difference lies.
Well, there are loopholes and there are tax minimization strategies. That's your job. Large profitable corporations actually pay pay their taxes, but they find loopholes that can reduce it. And I would do it, and you would do it too. There are some companies that I'll give you one: Duke Energy, one of the biggest power companies in the country, paid no federal taxes,
income taxes.
Yeah, they didn't pay none. PepsiCo paid none. So there are loopholes.
Is the problem the loopholes, or is the problem the tax code?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Yeah. Well, if that's the case, Tom, who's in charge of the tax code? Who's in charge of the loopholes?
Well, there's two main responsible parties, and we define them both by using the word Congress. The House and the Senate are really the ones that control tax policy. But that's where we look mostly. But, you know, if you ask me to tell you the real truth about how tax policy happens, it's done by special interest groups. And that's how, you know, when we talk about, let's say we started to talk about, let's eliminate the mortgage interest deduction. Then I promise you every mortgage banker in the United States would have a trade organization that would descend on Washington and its elected representatives and put a lot of pressure on them not to change that particular deduction. There's a rumor going around, and I've seen it multiple times now in some of our trade publications. Congress is sort of tacitly starting to talk about we might have to remove the tax-free exemption of selling your home. That's enormous. You know, right now, a married couple can defer up to $500,000 of profit on selling their home. And if we eliminate that, then there's a significant tax source that's going to happen there. And it's going to impact mostly the middle class. If we have to do that. Now, that's just a rumor, but, you know, the reality is that special interest groups and lobbying is really what controls almost everything in this country, including tax policy.
There have been so many laws passed. We know what the Biden administration is working on. We know we went backward in 2017. We passed the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. The trend, while it isn't there yet, the trend is on the way up, no matter what. So, is it death and taxes?
Those are two foregone conclusions that we can say are constant in life is death and taxes, and that is true. You know, the reality is, and I've said this before in this program, is that taxes have to go up. You can't spend money like this. We don't have a photocopier where we're just printing money, right? And that's kind of what we've been doing. And now we got to pay for that. That spending, you know, we've borrowed that money from U.S. taxpayers, from foreign sources, ultimately to put cash in the checkbooks of, you know, working Americans that, you know, are trying to survive the pandemic. And at some point, the bill for that is going to come due. And the only way to do that is to raise taxes. And it's going to have to be done in a way that maybe fairly distributes that burden across average Americans and wealthy Americans and corporate America. And that's where the real rub lies, is that, you know, corporate America has lobbyists and has all kinds of resources to manage that potential liability. And that's where the herein lies the rub, as Shakespeare would say.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.